You're listening to A Midlife Less Ordinary, the weekly podcast giving you the lowdown on becoming a cool older dude. The good times are not a faded memory. It's time to start living them again. And here are your hosts, Wayne and Trev.
Hello, welcome to A Midlife Less Ordinary, and I have Southend's answer to Kaiser Soze next to me. My name's Wayne. How are you doing, Trev?
Kaiser Soze.
You've given away the twist now.
What's he saying?
It's meant to be the twist at the end.
No, it's not. It's not. And like that, he was gone. What a fucking film that is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is brilliant. But you're in the wrong section again. I can't even get through the intro now without having stream of the week.
You called it me, so I have to react to these things. That's when Kevin Spacey weren't a bit dodgy, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you could say you liked him then.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a pretzel man, wasn't he?
So basically, we're saying you're Kevin Spacey.
What, you mean like a massive Supertramp fan? Yeah, I get that.
Exactly.
I love a bit of Supertramp, not all of it. Well, all of it, actually.
Have you had a good week?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, I have. A shocker. Not a shocker. I had a shock. I was in a convenience store.
Yes.
Buying a few things, picking a few things up as you do for the weekend, you know?
Anything for the weekend, sir, yeah.
A lot for the weekend, yeah. And I've walked past and I was like, Wayne's over there.
Oh, here we go. Oh, I haven't seen you this week, so it isn't me, is it? What's going on?
And I was like, oh, no, it's not. It's a tube of Pringles.
Oh, yeah.
That's Tash. Yes. You do look like the Pringle man.
Well, thanks very much. You encouraged me to grow the bloody thing, saying that I look more like Sam Elliott, and now you're saying I look like a packet of crisps. So you've basically made a complete fool of me.
So what they should have, like, a sleeve of Wayne's would be good, wouldn't it? A sleeve of Wayne's. What flavours would you have?
I'd be either the hot and spicy ones because I like them, or the cheese and sour cream or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Everyone likes them, don't they?
Yeah, I can't help it.
I don't think green's your colour though.
Why are you?
I just don't think it is.
Why? What have I looked bad in green with?
I don't ever seen you wear green. Have you ever wore green?
Yeah,
I mean, you have.
I don't know. It's not something men really talk about, is it? You always say to me, "Are you wearing a black t-shirt?" Yeah, I'm wearing a black t-shirt. It's all we got. Black t-shirts.
No, I'm always wearing a black t-shirt. No, take that back. Because I've got dark blue, I've got dark green, got a few different colours.
God, colours of the rainbow, Trev. It's like a packet of Skittles.
I'm not Jason Donovan, man.
Joseph.
But the thing is, yeah, you say that about blokes, but I like to see there's certain colours I can't wear because I just think they look ridiculous. I couldn't wear orange. Could you?
No, that does look ridiculous, yeah.
And I don't like yellow. I couldn't wear a bright yellow.
No.
Really?
You look like a life boy.
I don't like kind of light greys because you can get a little bit of the old pit staining, can't you? Nothing worse, trying to be cool, and then you put your arm up on something.
It's a bit like wearing white jogging bottoms or grey jogging bottoms and going for a slash. And when you're older, you just can't. There's no shaking you can do that stops that.
No, exactly. The only way you can do is, as I like to call it, dab the helmet, as I like to say in the trade.
Dab the helmet. That's the Trevism in half, that is.
Dab the helmet. Honestly, I've got a really nice pair of Jim McKean grey shorts. They're great. And I tell you what, you know when you just rush in the toilet and forget? And you just give it a little shake, not too much.
More and like then a tug in your case, isn't it?
Well, to be honest, it's like I'm just like scratching the top of my kneecap. But it's just like you think, oh, God, really? And then you're desperately trying to put tissue on it to get rid of it. And that all balls up, doesn't it? You get that kind of fluff. Oh, man.
But isn't it bad when you get to an age where you can't actually solve the problem, but all I do now is just buy dark coloured jogging bottoms to get around it? Instead of solving the issue.
You don't think you could rock a pair of beige kind of chinos?
No, not unless it is it's fashionable to have a wet patch about 1 inch down on the left.
I was talking of a story. One of our listeners, I remember going out with him one night and we were so drunk that we walked out of where we were staying in just our trainers and our pants with a bottle of vodka and a bottle of JD in our hands.
So you look like a vagrant.
Walked out, honestly, man, I don't know what we were thinking of. And we were walking along this road and we were laughing so much. I actually wet myself laughing. So instead of just kind of, I actually took my pants down and turned them around, looks even worse, doesn't
it? Yes.
But what did I do about 100 yards off? I wet them again. So I had wet patches on both sides.
Oh, Christ. So now you're going skins.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I just walked back with like wet patches on both sides. Well, but yeah.
I'll tell you what would have come in handy for that, Trev. The problem you had right there. Yes. The AMLO weekly wipe. So before I find out what pearls of wisdom you've been finding out about the news this week, Trev, I thought I'd just mention I was up at 4:30 in the morning, not to do a milk round. It was to watch the Gypsy King. No, it was the paper round, I was watching the Gypsy King take on the Bronze Bomber, Deontay Wilder, in their trilogy encounter. And to be honest, it was one of the ones where you'd say it was worth staying up for, got a decent fight.
He actually went for it, didn't he? I knew he'd won.
Yeah,
didn't watch it.
The fight was actually where it's been a bit of a farce in the past. It actually... They both guys got knocked down.
Listen to that.
Fast in the past.
Isn't that pun? Fast in the past. Yeah, that's good though.
But yeah, definitely worth waiting up for, worth paying £25 for if you did. And so it's good for boxing.
What's
as a
your
sport.
Opinion? What's your opinion on him?
The Gypsy King. To be honest, I used to think he was a joke, but he's obviously a good boxer.
Good boxer,
and he's tough.
He?
You know, if you can take a punch, you always stand a chance, don't you?
Did you see him very quick? Did you see him at the rave afterwards?
Yes. Yeah, I did. I mean, that was, I'd like to have been there in Vegas at the after party. Yeah. I mean, he was having a good fun. I mean, good luck to him. He's great for the sport because he's out there. He's got time for the fans. It's a very unique, you know, he lives in Morecambe in a
is
massive
he really?
House. He lives in like a sort of flashy house in Morecambe that's worth about $700,000. He could live anywhere he wants in the world. He's got hundreds of millions, you know, but it makes me laugh. He's a typical gypsy, you know, he doesn't.
Yeah, which is good. He's a really character, isn't he?
He's a character. You need them people
exactly.
in life.
In any sport.
Polarized.
Any sport. That's exactly. what I don't like about football now. You've got no Gascoigne. You've got no Jimmy Bullard. They're just all faceless. It's so corporate. They've got to say the right thing all the time. It's taking away the characters in football. It's going to get to a point where you can't look back and remember him because they're all faceless.
Exactly.
You know?
And talking of faceless, man, what's made you faceless this week? Anything bothering you?
Well, I thought, talking of faceless, what about Phil Brown's sacking? What's going on there? Southend United. What has happened?
Slow and painful death of Southend. Basically, putting a team out, this is what happened, what appears to have happened, putting a team out to get the sack because he put his worst 11 and basically got slaughtered and he had decent players on the bench. So he obviously, he'd fallen out of love with it all and just thought, I need to get out quick. And there's fans storming the pit. It's such a sad time for Southend United right now.
It is.
National League, bottom of the National League, more or less.
Right.
You know, Stan Collymore's involved. I mean,
Stanley, we like Stanley, don't we?
We do
Stanley
like Stan.
Did run me over once.
Yeah, he's got Southend at heart.
And bike.
You know, and he's galvanising what's left of support. Because with Southend fan, you've had 3 years of depression, basically, and it's awful.
Yeah.
Six managers, whatever it is. Let's hope that we can turn a corner there for anyone who's from Southend. What other things I've noticed this week, that they basically reported, Trev, that the UK's failure to do more to stop COVID spreading was one of the worst ever public health failures. I thought that basically throwing your crap out your windows in Victorian times was probably worse than that, to be honest, didn't you?
Exactly. Yeah, that weren't too pleasant, was it?
No, I wasn't there, but I mean, I'm guessing it wasn't very nice.
The funny thing is with this, isn't it? Well, it's not funny at all because people dying isn't funny. But I thought that as a nation, we'd handled it quite well. And now we're virtually back to normal, aren't we?
Because we like beating ourselves up as a country, don't we?
Yeah, I think so.
We do.
You know, it's like you kind of, something gets done well and then they pull it apart. By looking
well,
at
how do
too
you
much.
How so, do you know how to react to a once in 100 years event? You know, there's no right or wrong. I'm not sticking up for the government or the opposition or anything here. There's just no way to know for sure how you're meant to do everything properly.
Yeah, this is it.
With the facilities
and there'll always be, yeah, there'll always be things that probably could have been done better, but there's probably things that could have been done worse. I don't.
Well, you know, they told us to isolate, stay at home, save the NHS and all that stuff. Yeah. Now they're saying because we've done that and stayed away from everyone and locked down, now that flu's going to end up killing everyone because we haven't got an immunity to flu because we've all been locked away. So now flu's going to be worse than it's ever did. So it's like a vicious circle, literally. So
yeah. You know, so when a hangover is going to kill us? Because that's going to do me, I reckon.
Well, any drink we have these days, our age, kills you, doesn't it? It's
apart
awful.
From Horlicks.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
You can have a cup of Horlicks.
That's when you know, when you used to go to your nan's and Horlicks was in it, you used to be like, oh, what's that? You taste it, go, oh, it's a bit malty. But now.
Yeah,
actually,
I don't like it.
No, but I tell you, I bought Horlicks hot chocolate. It's actually quite impressive. It doesn't help
that's
you sleep.
One thing. That's one thing I can't be down with. I love the smell of hot chocolate. Not you sexy thing, not that one, not Errol. I don't like the smell of Errol, but he probably smells a bit manly and a bit kind of. He probably smells.
He's not here anymore, now, by the way. R.I.P. Errol Brown.
Oh yeah, but, sorry. Yes, he doesn't smell a piss.
We've made that mistake before, sorrel. Haven't we, Eddie Kidd?
Yeah. Well, sorry, Eddie. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the smell of it, and then I get two mouthfuls. I think this is horrid. It's weird, isn't it?
I know what you're saying.
It's really weird. Yeah, it's just not weird.
But
you know.
And Trev, I wanted to report, basically, there's fuel back in the petrol station because basically no one can afford fuel anymore because it's gone up so expensive now.
How much has it gone
prices.
Up then?
It's gone up to the highest level since 2013. It's over £1.50 a litre in some service stations on the motorways, I noticed. But basically no one can afford it anymore. So now there's plenty of petrol to go around. You just can't, you know, you have to rob a bank to
just
buy
can't
some.
Afford it.
You
have to sell your body.
You do.
To
well, get that's fine. Petrol. I'll give it away. You know, I'll give it away.
Yeah, exactly.
Can of petrol for my wee-stained jogging bottom.
Exactly,
down.
Yeah.
Yeah, have
yeah,
some
you'll
of
see
that.
People standing there at the side of the road with a sign saying, we'll give you a hand job for a can of petrol.
There's like deal, writing that down now. And also, Trev, I've got a feeling there's some news this week that you're not too keen of, and I'll let you comment on it. Mm. It's Superman's bisexual son. How are you feeling about this?
Jonathan Kent. It's a real difficult one because... You know, I'm down with the kids. I'm like kind of, and you just think. I think the only thing that I'm a bit is apart from that.
It's down with the kids. It's your Pied Piper kids. Music. You forgot about
Pied
that.
Pied Piper. Yeah. The only thing that I'm a bit kind of skeptical of is these adult issues because it is an adult issue, isn't it?
Yes.
We're normally kind of put in more mature readers' comics. And there was like, so I'm not down with censorship, but I think sometimes you have to have some kind of guidance. I don't really like the way it's in mainstream comics.
No.
Because I know things move on, but
shouldn't
Superman,
it be super person now? Super person.
Well, this is it. This is it. Where do you draw the line? But Superman and Captain America, because he was gay. A little while ago, and obviously you've had the Black Spider-Man, which I'm all down with. Things have got to move on, but the sexual orientation does it because really Superman is still a kids' comic.
Yes, yeah, but they're saying you know, that's what they want kids to understand. There's nothing wrong with it, don't they? I was guessing it's.
Yeah, there's nothing
we sound,
wrong with
we
it
do
at
sound
all.
Like a couple of relics. Oh,
we do,
to be honest.
We do.
This is awful.
Really.
I think we should just stop it there.
Yes,
because
stop now.
It's like we're trying to excuse ourselves. Yeah. I realised I was listening to my own self speak. We said that's what we're trying to understand, but we just can't get our heads around it. So
that's not good, is it?
Leave Granddad in the prehistoric times, and we'll move on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but don't mention that you can't use TikTok properly.
Yeah, you don't see exactly what is that all about. But
I know,
just Trev, with us being as cultured as we are and enjoying promoting music like last week and this week, we've got an artist again. You know, we're big fans of art now. We've got a
very much so.
We've got an interview
this guy
with a
great
very talented artist. Yeah, somebody you come across.
Local lad again. Yeah, local fella.
Local fella.
Guy. Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
The work's a bit different again, but I think basically.
Nice. It's not like anything we've covered before, is it? Either, is it?
No, exactly.
I'll just explain why we've got Daniel on the show. Daniel's a figurative artist. He's a very talented drawer and painter. He's a local lad from Leon C, which seems to be the art capital of Essex.
It definitely is.
Leon C.
Yeah.
go follow him on Instagram and other social medias. You won't be disappointed. The man has got a sketching skill. He really has.
can you kind of explain your art? You're a figurative artist, Daniel, aren't you? Can you explain that for laymen like myself and Trev, basically?
I'm not a layman. Yeah. I know what he's doing.
I've always been interested in the figure. And I think really the work, really simply, it's just about existing and what it means to exist as a human being, really. Whether that be in sort of a physical sense, a psychological sense, and even a spiritual sense sometimes, if that makes any sense.
To be honest, I'll get that out of your drawings, Daniel, to be honest. They're very emotional. They really are.
That's good.
Does it lend itself more to being kind of expressionist art, Daniel?
Yeah. I think so. Like, if I had to categorise it, it would probably be sort of expressionist, post-expressionism, really. I mean, the sort of artists that I've always been inspired by are sort of expressionists or post-expressionists, like Francis Bacon and guys like that, Frank Auerbach, Anselm Kiefer, guys like that, really. So, yeah. I'd definitely be in that category.
Out of those three names, the only one I recognised was Francis Bacon, so I'll have to look up.
And it's only because he likes bacon, basically. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I heard bacon, and I was like, I could smell it, and I could hear the sizzle. Yeah.
Definitely pick them other guys out, because they are...
Yeah,
they
definitely, are I will, mate, I will. Yeah, it's good. And, yeah, your stuff's ever so deep when I look at it. There's like... Yeah, it is. It's incredible. It really is. I'm looking at some of it now, and... Yeah, and to be honest, to get so much out of your work, and there's hardly any colour in it. Is there a reason you don't use colour that much, Daniel? Or
that's another thing, sort of by another guy that I was inspired by, called Alberto Giacometti. He sort of at a certain stage in his practice, he just abandoned colour. Like when I first started looking at him, that kind of inspired me to do the same, because I've always been about producing work kind of spontaneously as quickly as I can, really, without sort of messing about too much. Do you know what I mean? So I think like colour just became another distraction for me. I don't sit there sort of thinking about what colours to mix and stuff like that, which is a bit of a weird
No, I know where you're coming from. It's like making it uncomplex, just getting on with it.
It's kind of, you know, and I've always worked on like found surfaces, you know, like I'll find a bit of like, you know, old bit of hardboard or something and work on that. Like, I don't stretch my own canvases and stuff, mainly because I don't want to spend the time that I could be painting, like making canvases and mixing paints and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
So it's when you feel inspired, Daniel, is that when, I mean, that's a lot of artists say that, obviously, when you feel inspired, it's just basically bang, you get on with the work.
That's a tricky one, like the whole feeling inspired thing, because I don't know whether it's true that, you know, like I'll see like a nice flower and then I'll feel like I have to go and paint something. Do you know what I mean? Like it's kind of, it's just a continuous thing. Like, I know that I've got to paint because it's like, it's just in me. Do you know? Does that make sense? Like, so it's
normally
not,
I get like that, Dan, when I need to go to the toilet. I know it's in me. I've got to get it out.
That's just getting old, Trev. I mean, it's nothing to do with being an artist.
I like to think that's quite expressionism. Really. I'm expressing myself. Just doing that.
Definitely.
your work, I'm looking at some of your work now, Daniel, A Forest, which is a bit different to your other work. You can get lost in it. I mean, obviously you can get lost in any forest, but it is one of them pictures where you look at it, it's like infinite, sort of stare at it, and you can get lost.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, that was, to be honest, that I think that was probably like at a stage where my normal practice had kind of stagnated a bit, which does seem to happen like quite a lot. You just sort of hit a barrier, and then you'll have like, I don't know, like a couple of months where you just don't feel like you're producing anything like of any worth, if you know what I mean.
It's so a bit like Trev and the podcast, Daniel. Don't worry about that. Sorry.
It just helps to go and try and paint something else. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, yeah.
Triforest.
Whenever I look at Daniel's work, I know obviously because I'm quite into music, I think your illustrations would make amazing album covers.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, they would, wouldn't they?
Which is a shame because if you were as old as Wayne and I, you'd remember like buying LPs and you'd actually be able to see the whole art. Now the problem is people download stuff, they don't see it, but your stuff would make amazing album covers. It really would.
You said that because there's a couple of pieces that I was thinking about recently that I was like, I'd wish that someone would ask me to have it as like an album cover. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I have done work in the past that people have used sort of like on albums and single covers and stuff
like that.
Yeah,
it's got that look about it completely, mate. It really has. That's golden. Yeah. That just looks the whole point. Yeah, it does. It's really cool, mate. Really good.
Where's the best places for people to see broad portfolio of your work, Daniel?
To be honest, I haven't like got a website, so I only use Instagram, which is obviously dm_art.uk, and I sell my work through Etsy.
Oh, cool! It's a great creative space, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Mm. Yes, yeah, it's been really good actually. I only set up a shop this year, going quite well. Right. So.
I'm wondering if we can put Daniel in touch with our friend of the show, Andy, from the Little Known Studio, with his new creative space opening in Southend soon. You know Andy, actually. Daniel, yeah?
Yeah, I've met him a couple of times. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Great. Yeah, that'd be cool if you could all get together and, like, get it out there for, like, Southend and Lee and that. That'd be marvellous. Did you not have an exhibition at the Beecroft Gallery in Southend?
Yes, yeah, I did. In November 2019, which seems like a long ago now.
I can imagine with everything that's gone on, mate. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. How did that come about? To be honest, I just kind of, everyone was kind of like, look, you need to try and get your work out there somehow.
Yeah.
I was always like, I didn't really have the confidence to get it out. I was always felt like I wasn't quite ready, if you know what I mean. So, up contacting the guy at the gallery there, sent him over some pictures and he liked them. And I ended up, I think I was on a waiting list for like 2 years.
Really?
Like I say, November 2019 till February 2020, just before the world went to shit. It's good.
It's a whole other world to being an artist, Daniel, where obviously you're an artist per se, but also you have to be a salesman as well. That's the other part of it. Yeah, people like to know the stories, don't they, behind the pictures and everything.
That's the I've never really liked is like the selling of it. Do you know what I mean? Because I wouldn't want that to be the reason that I was doing it, if you know what I mean.
No.
Of course. Yeah.
For the want to do it or the need to do it.
I've never really thought about that for you guys because it must be hard because at one point you're just doing it for yourself and getting it out of yourself. And then all of a sudden you've got to think, well, if I want to do this full time, I've got to make money out of this. So then all of a sudden, as Wayne said, you've got to sell yourself. And if you haven't got that side, you could be the most talented artist ever. It's very difficult, isn't it?
Well, art trails are good. You know, when we were speaking to the Little Known Studio a few weeks ago on a live broadcast kind of thing, they were saying how important it is, the sales aspect. And when people are on an art trail or something like that, they're already primed to be talking art. And you know, I think it's a bit easier sell for you guys to get out there. You don't feel like you're pushing it, you know?
No.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I haven't got in the art trail, actually, but
we'll try to link you up with it.
Yeah, because I think your work is a bit different, isn't it, to what we've come across before.
Definitely, somebody
like Andy and his new creative space has got two places now. And he can help with that aspect of it, and he promotes, he's very, very good promotion of local art. So, yeah, maybe we can do something there. That'd be great. But
That would be amazing. Because to be honest, Daniel needs to get out there. We need to get people to see his art because he's just killer. He's just really, really good. That's all right, mate. It's cool. You deserve it. You deserve some coverage because I'm looking at it now and there is some colour used in it. And that's amazing. Yeah. It's really kind of emotional. It really creates a different feel. It really does. Well, you know, it's good. We're very lucky in this area. We've got so many talented people like in art and stuff. It really is. It, you know,
well, a few months ago, Trevor and I knew nothing at all. I mean, now we know a few words to do with art, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Expressionist, yeah. And figurative. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but we feel cultured, Daniel. You know, it's great. You know, this is what the podcast does for us.
Yeah, Wayne uses that word expressionism all the time.
I love it. Yeah,
thinks he drops him in it. It's like drinking makes me sound intelligent in front of someone. Yeah. It does. Yeah, right.
So give everyone that Instagram page that you promote. Is it DM underscore art? Did you say, Daniel?
Yeah, that's it. DM underscore art.uk.
So go visit there, everyone. Have a look at his art.
I'll put a few things on our Instagram. For Dan. You know, to kind of get him out there. Yeah, love it. Love him to do well. Like all the rest of the guys in this area, people have got to see stuff like this. They really have.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thanks for joining us today, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. It's been really great.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, that's all right, mate. Pleasure, mate.
Please go and support your local art. We're always pushing this artist, musicians, very important. Keep these people doing what they want to do.
Want it to be cultural down, you know, in Southend and the surrounding areas. What I liked about Dan, when he was talking there, was he mentioned that he was really, really interested in figures.
Yes.
I'm very
action figures, though. You're going
normally,
with this.
Normally the curvy kind of figures.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, I went with the wrong one, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But Trev, I think it's your favourite part of the week, isn't it? When we,
is it really?
Yeah, when we play your little Quentin Tarantino intro and we do our AMLO kind of stream of the week. Right, let's see if we can have a successful show this week. No Strictly Come Dancing, no nothing else. What are you watching this week?
Well, new stuff. Again, I was on Disney. I think a lot of people that know I'm a big Muppets fan, puppet fan, and I watched the new Muppet. Could you call it a film? I don't know. It's only about 50 minutes long. Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
Again, very good. What I liked about it is the two main characters were Gonzo and the prawn that escapes my name. His name escapes me. Very good. It's got all the old corny jokes in it. The only thing I was a little bit let down by was some of the people in it who probably in America probably are quite famous, but I didn't really recognise them. But I might be just out of touch. I'm not sure. But yeah, it's got all the old corny jokes. The band are in it, which is really cool for a little while. There's like really small cameos of like Honeydew and Beaker, which is cool. It's very good.
You're recommending it. Where can people see this, Trev?
Disney. It's got all the crummy jokes, the Fozzie Bear crummy jokes and stuff. There's plenty of digital.
Is it for a new audience or for a nostalgic kind of audience?
Both, really. Both. It covers the whole thing. Yeah, it does. It's got a good feel to it. You know, as I said, just about to say there with the digital effects, it's all part of it now, which is a bit kind of, and it's weird seeing Muppets use mobile phones and stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, bringing it up to date.
Because obviously it's a different time. But I've always been a big Gonzo fan and like Beaker and stuff. So yeah, I was all over it. And maybe a bit heavy on the songs.
Yeah.
But it works. Yeah, it works. I enjoyed it. And yourself, mate?
Yeah, well, I'll go a bit more obvious like I always do, but I'm bringing it back to 1999 and basically still at number one in my best ever films. You know what I'm going to say. It's on Netflix at the moment and I don't think there's many people that probably haven't seen it, but it's Fight Club.
Dirty Dancing.
Hey! Fight Club.
Of course
Brad Pitt,
is. Yeah.
Edward Norton, office worker and a soap maker who start up an underground fight club. Or so it seems, but we're not going to give it away. Yeah. But I've always said, Trev, A Clockwork Orange for a Generation X, you would agree with
definitely.
That?
Definitely. You know? Definitely. Yeah. Fight Club, I love. The weird thing is with Fight Club, I saw it at the cinema.
I remember this. Yeah.
And I was having trouble because my mum was very ill with cancer at the time. Yeah. And I went to see it. I was really excited to see it because a big Edward Norton fan like yourself and Brad Pitt. I like Brad Pitt. And obviously, David Fincher, over it. And I watched it and I was like, and I just went in the right headspace. And it was a totally different film than I thought it would be. I thought it would be kind of a macho underground fight club, you know, that guy. And it was just nothing like that. And I was like, no, No, I don't like that.
And I thought you were just being controversial. I remember.
I think you did when we spoke at work about
it. I remember.
Yeah, you did.
I couldn't believe it. I thought this is your thing. I knew you were going, no, it was crap. And I was thinking, no, you're just doing that jerk like we were on that work thing that time and you being awkward about German people. And I was, I did think you was being like that. But actually, it was just, and I understand it because it's got so many themes. Yeah. I mean, when you, I wrote down some things what I love about it and it, why it still stands the test of time and why if you haven't seen it, you should see it. And I understand, and I've tried to get over the years the young ladies that I've dated or whatever to watch it, and
you've taken out for the evening.
Yeah, I've taken out. I'm trying to get them to watch Fight Club, evening. And it's not many the female gender enjoy it as much as the males. I can see why. To be fair, it's not, but it's not a macho film about boxing as such,
it's not,
per se.
No.
But I say it's got a brilliant narration from Edward Norton. It's captivating and it moves the story along really well.
Brilliantly
one
done.
Of the best I've ever
brilliantly
heard.
Done. Yeah.
The twist is still shocking, even if you already know it. It's fast paced, never boring. And what I love about it, it's got what I like to call, or I think is what called in the industry, foreshadowing. So basically, once you know about the twist, you can go back and watch it and think, Christ, yeah, I saw that, but didn't really take it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Very clever.
Brilliant. Yeah. One of the best bits in it I really like.
I know what you're going to say, smashing that angel's face in, aren't you?
No, that's a bit too obvious. The bit I really like is when they say about the cigarette burns in the films.
Yes.
And he points in the corner.
Yeah.
I was like, brilliant. That, even when I didn't like it for the first time, I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's the very way cool. Like he puts the clips of pornos in it. And you know, the two things as well I like about it, and added to that, one is Brad Pitt still looks fashionable now in it.
Yeah.
And how long ago was it?
1999, 22 years ago now.
That's what I'm saying. And he still looks like he's walked off a catwalk in that fur coat and that vest.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? And the other thing I'll say to you is you're not your fucking car keys.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a line. Yeah.
Well, I thought he was talking about car keys. That's what I thought he was talking about.
You're not your fucking car keys.
Yeah,
what you mean, like when you used to go out when you were younger and you had a BMW, you put your car keys in the bag.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're not your fucking car keys, mate.
Yeah.
You're not your fucking car keys.
You're not that. I still get that.
You're
not your bloody smart car.
You're not your three-wheeler blue.
You're not your hybrid. You're not your hybrid.
Yeah.
Don't got the same thing, is it?
The other thing that I love about The Fight Club is how good Meatloaf is in it.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah.
Superb.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
It's just a work of art. If there can be such a thing that's actually entertaining, even though we're very cultural now, you know, it is artistic.
You convinced me to watch it again. And
we just love it.
I bought it on. Yeah, I love it. I bought it on a. Like it was one of the biggest special edition DVDs to ever come out, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
It had like so many commentaries on it. It was huge. Yeah. It had loads of stuff on, and it had a cool box. And I remember me and you getting it, and I was convinced I was only going to buy it because like it was like the latest thing with all the gummings on. And I watched it again, and I was blown away by it. I was like, "You've misjudged this. Something's chronic." I had to go in. I had to lick round Wayne's bum for a couple of hours in work because
it was very good.
Yeah, it was. It's very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah. But it won't be the first and probably won't be the last. But it was. It is just an amazing movie.
Just if you've seen it before, just watch it again.
I haven't seen it in ages and I really want to watch it again. And I tell you what, the way he does that karate move in it,
it's
just brilliant.
So give that time. So Trev, what's your next choice for the week?
A very old one again. And I only flicked over and saw, and I was like, you know what? This is really good. It's not as good as the original, but it's so good. And I watched, caught about an hour of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With Sean Connery.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's much better than what we remember.
I think it is. It's so underrated, especially when Temple of Doom's pretty lame, you know?
Do you know there was only about 4 or 5 years difference in them, weren't there?
There was. Yeah, and the thing is, Sean Connery is only about 7 or 9 years older than Harrison Ford.
That's what I meant.
His dad, he's just convincing because of the way he looks.
Yeah.
Denham Elliott's great in it. It's so cleverly, the script is so clever.
Yeah.
You know, they portray the Nazis so well, don't they, in it?
Yes.
No, it's not. One thing I love about the Nazis in it as well is Mr. Bronson is in it.
Yes, he is.
Granger as Hitler. That bit is brilliant, isn't it? Where he signs his the diary. Oh, it is the chemistry between the two of them when they've set the place on fire and they're in the fireplace spinning round. It's got like a Carry On filmness. It is honestly, I know surely everyone's seen this that listens to this, but watch it again. If you want a really good, entertaining, it's not a family film, but it's got that. It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
What's it on, Trev?
I think it's on everywhere. I think it's on Netflix. I think it's like Amazon Prime. It's not as good as Raiders of the Lost Ark, because Raiders of the Lost Ark
isn't. It's a
brilliant, but it ain't far off, to be honest. It really isn't.
That's a good recommendation, Trev.
Yeah, and you've got the end line, you chose wisely, which you've used loads of times, haven't we? How cool is the knight at the end of it? Oh, cool is he?
Yeah, he is.
The whole thing, great.
Very good. Yeah, good recommendation, Trev. I'm going to actually drop my next recommendation and save it to next week because we're running out of time and I promised you some dick this week. So I just wanted to say Squid Game.
Squid Game, yeah. We're not going to watch it, are we?
No. Because everyone else is watching it, I don't want to watch
Game
it.
Game of Thrones was the same as me. I don't want to watch it.
No.
I don't care how good it is. I might get round to it.
We're being controversial here.
Don't want to stand at work talking about it, giving it the big one, you know, just it's the in thing, you know. And it looks right up my alley, but...
We'll give it a skip for now. But if anyone's enjoying it, leave us a message, amlopodcast.com. Yeah, tell us what you like about it. Maybe you can change our mind. I've promised you some dick, and I'm giving you dick. So it's that time of the week for Dick of the Week. Now, for this week's Dick of the Week, picked one that's a bit more obscure to a lot of younger people. It died in actually 1983, and that's Dick Emery. What do you remember about Dick Emery, Trev?
Hello, honky tonk. And oh, you are awful. In a time cross-dressing Dick.
Yes.
In a time where it was completely acceptable to appear on national television dressed as a woman. And no one thought anything weird of it. And he was quite an ugly fella. He was quite an ugly dick, wasn't he?
And it wasn't RuPaul's Drag Race he was in, was it?
Or no, like exactly. Yeah. And we didn't even question it.
No.
Your parents didn't even question it. It was just an ugly, older, middle-aged man in a dress, a bit like you at weekends.
Is that very much like me at weekends? I'm thinking I might need to look him up again. It's true though what they say. I've just found an article in the Express. At the time of his death in 1983, Dick Emery was a heavyweight TV star at the peak of his power. Mm. His shows have been running continually since the 60s, and like Les Dawson, Morecambe and Wise and Benny Hill, he was a permanent fixture in the TV schedules, drawing huge audiences every Saturday night. But while Morecambe and Wise remain comedy legends, how many people under the age of 40 know his, and once the nation's catchphrase, "Ooh, you are awful, but I like you," like you rightly said. You know, that's true. How come he doesn't live on like Morecambe and Wise or the Two Ronnies or something like that, you know?
Because, well, I was about to say, because they didn't dress up as women, but then they did. The two Ronnies did, didn't they, all the time?
Do you think David Williams models himself on him a little bit?
No, he's more not to come away from... The Dick of the Week. No, he's more Frankie Howard. That's why he played him in that TV show special.
Yeah.
He's more Frankie Howard. But Dick Emery, do you remember he used to do as well? He used to do that sort of prison sort of skinhead sketch. Do you remember that?
Yes.
He was all dressed in that denim suit.
Yeah.
A bother boy. I think he was the bother boy. You don't hear that term anymore, do you?
No, that's right. Boy. Yeah, he's pioneered a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
I think he was one of the first comedians to develop a stable of regular characters, is basically it, wasn't
he? Yes, he did, yeah.
Which later really lots would take on.
That bother boy.
No, I remember it. I'll have to look that up now. Yeah,
he had another partner, didn't he?
Yeah, he used to have like regular collaborators sort of thing on there, didn't he?
Yeah, and he weren't very clever, was he?
God, it's so long ago.
He was always, But honestly, looking back, I've fond memories of that Dick, not big fond memories. Yeah. I actually watched, I can't think what film it was. I actually watched one of his films because my brother's always saying to me, "Hello, honky tonk." It's like a running gag, you know. But what I used to like about this dick was when he was dressed as a woman, he'd always have his handbag, like your nana, your auntie.
Yeah, yeah, over your arm. Like,
he'd have his hand. Yeah, yeah, he's brilliant.
That, like that football picture women. That time when the Argentinians had their foot. Yeah, yeah, like
yeah,
that.
With what, the wall.
Yeah, the wall, yeah.
You don't see women carrying their handbags like
no, that. No, no. Yeah. But that stereotype still remains an image that we believe in, doesn't it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And like as you say, why is he not a legend? Like Monty Python are seen as
well.
Legendary,
I'll tell you what about him. He's another dick that's had. He married 5 women. What is it about being the dick that you can marry all these women? It's amazing.
Well, I think, to be honest, I'm sure I saw like a documentary thing where he was just shagging loads of women in like his caravan thing.
Was this just on an obscure Sky Channel when you woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning?
I think it was. I actually watched one of his movies. It was like he must have done like a couple of movies, like Dick Embry movies. Yeah. And I think I taped it off of like a Sky Gold or something. And he played a couple of women in that. He also played like a sort of gangster as well in it, like a sort of Cockney gangster. And again, because of my love of that sort of 70s dick, I did just totally swallow it. I just loved it. I thought it was great. You know, non-PC dick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think definitely worth us all having a look up. Some top dick with Dick Emery because evoking memories now from the 80s, you know, 40 years ago now. So, look up Dick Emery, who's this week's Dick of the Week. So it is quite exciting bringing up these. He's basically bringing up these old dicks.
Good memories.
It does. And listening back to them, it just evokes them. Total memories.
The funny thing is, I say, like, with that kind of un-PC thing back then, and when we were listening to that again, Morecambe and Wise used to, like, lay in a double bed together in the morning slept together.
Yes.
No one batted an eyelid.
No.
No one was like, what's that?
No, that's right. We used to watch it in bed together and comment on it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We were like, they do it as well. How is that?
That's quite
like, we're all right.
Normalising it.
No one's going to.
Here we go again. Relic time.
Yeah, exactly. Well done.
We didn't perceive anything strange about any of this. We don't now, to be honest. No. I mean, but it's just gone a bit odd. But I think that I've rushed it along a bit, Trev. We need to end up, but we've managed to fit everything in. Thanks for your company again this week. If you've got any comments, if you want to
say one thing is I actually asked someone Sunday who was knocked out of Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to mention Strictly Come Dancing. I just don't want to taint the show with your Strictly Come Dancing.
I did actually ask someone. Who got booted out?
What's so white that's and wriggles bad. Across the floor?
I don't want to know.
Come Dancing. Right. Sorry.
Boom.
Basil Brush. Sorry. I've just wasted more time here. I'm going into my extras. Yeah. But thanks for joining us. If you want to tell us why we're missing out on Squid Game, amlopodcast.com. Leave a message. Write us a letter. You can find all the details on the website. Yeah. Thanks for joining us again. I'll see you next week, Trev. Thank you.
See you later, you relic. As always.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please leave a rating and review and visit our website at www.amlopodcast.com to check out all the links and resources in the show notes. Start living them good times. See you next time.